This is ESPN Radio's Barton Hahn Podcast.
Yes, it is, presented by Progressive Insurance, and all our guests appear via the Goodyear Hotline. Chris Carlin and for Alan Hahn, along with Bart Scott. Man, Bart, next few days, it's going to be crazy in the NFL. Not next few days, really next 2 weeks are going to be absolutely crazy in the NFL with the cuts coming up before the 17th. And then once the league year starts, it's going to be the wild, wild west chasing the free agents.
Oh, crazy, right? We don't know who we're going to anticipate, who's going to continue to get cut, who's on the chopping block, who's coming in. We got pro days going on. We don't have the combine, so we can't watch all the players at one time. But, you know, we got Trey Lance today. Let's see if he improves his stock. Everybody's going to look great in the underwear Olympics, you know, being able to display themselves in a comfortable setting as well. Guys are going to run faster. And that's why it's going to come all the way down to all the scouting departments and how much work they've done.
Well, let's get to some more information with our NFL insider. It is Dan Graziano who joins us right now via the Goodyear Hotline. And, Dan, we got to start with David Culley, who was put in an impossible situation here the last couple of days. I mean, but the message changed three times. First, it was, he's our guy. He wants to be here. Then it was, he's our guy for right now. We're not sure if he's going to be here. Then it was, I'm the coach, and we have a general manager. Dan, why are they putting him in this position? And secondly, exactly what is the situation right now?
This drives me nuts about the NFL, because GMs hide, right? And then, like, the coach, I remember when I covered the Giants, and, like, we would have to ask Tom Coughlin questions about signings and guys that got cut and everything, and he would eventually just get to the point where it's like, you know, this isn't my department, but the problem is the GM only comes and talks twice a year. So you're stuck. And I guess that's part of the deal when you sign up to be a head coach. Maybe they made it clear to David Culley that he was going to have to be the face of this. And hopefully for his sake, he went home and just stared at his bank account and felt better about things. But I think the situation is ugly. Deshaun Watson wants out. He's made it clear that he doesn't want to play there, and he's demanded a trade, and he has expressed to David Culley that he won't play there anymore. And the Texans have been talking tough and telling teams they don't want to do it, and they're willing to let him sit out the year if he wants and recoup the money, et cetera, et cetera. So I don't think this moves for about another month. I could eat those words, obviously, in an hour, but I don't think it moves for about another month, because I think once we get closer to the draft, the picture will be clearer, and you know, Houston might be in a situation where they say we have to do it now so we can get 2021 draft picks as opposed to waiting a whole year and start rebuilding around that. And if it doesn't happen before the draft, then that's when I think it could drag on into the season and even beyond.
Now, are they hurting themselves? Because, you know, reputation is everything, and their brand is damaged. You know, if I'm a free agent,
well,
I'm not going to visit there. That's the last chance you for me. Now, I saw that they signed Kersey, who, you know, just got, you know, was with Green Bay. They signed Mark Ingram, who they have a relationship with. But if I'm a free agent that has plans on trying to win a championship and get paid, I'm not going to Houston.
Yeah, I think, I mean, to the extent that they would want to try and outfight somebody for a top free agent, yeah, that's the kind of thing that could cost them. I mean, but this market, you know, Bart, the money's not going to be there for a lot of guys once you get past the real top level, you know, free agents. And so you'll get to a point where guys are just looking for the best deal that they can find or someplace to land. So, you know, the Texans' money's still green and somebody will take it. But I think you're right that, you know, if you were a Bart Scott level free agent coming out of Baltimore and signing with the Jets, you know, you're not necessarily going to consider Houston when there are similar offers from places you'd rather play, for sure.
Well, what about
Dan Graziano? Yes. Oh, sorry, Bart. Sorry. Go ahead.
What about the shenanigans about how dysfunctional they look and everybody knowing that it's inevitable that they're going to have to move Deshaun Watson and then lowering the compensation for him as well?
Yeah, I mean, it's tough. They're a tough selling point. But you mentioned they just signed two guys in the last 2 days, so it's not like, you know, it's not like people are running screaming from the possibility of it. So, yeah, I mean, there are going to be guys that are in a situation. I mean, they'll have a team. You know, somebody will play quarterback for them. So they're going to have to sell it with, you know, Cully apparently is a guy that generates a lot of respect and a lot of warm feeling from players that he's worked with, and they're going to have to sell it with opportunity. Look, we're going to be in a rebuild situation, but you're part of how we think we can fix it, and that'll be their pitch, I'm sure.
Dan Graziano, ESPN's NFL Insider, joining us on the Goodyear Hotline. Dan, Cam Newton back in New England for 1 year, $14 million. But does this mean that the Patriots are definitively going to draft a quarterback and presumably high this year?
I don't think it means anything definitively. I think it tells us that they liked Cam Newton. They liked having him around, and they think he could do better than he did for them. But, you know, we haven't seen the details of the contract, the full details, and we don't know how guaranteed any of it is and what their incentives and all that kind of stuff. I think they're keeping their options open in New England. I absolutely think they could draft somebody, move up to draft somebody. They could acquire somebody. I mean, look, there's a popular opinion in the league that they'll eventually get Garoppolo back from the 49ers, although that opinion doesn't take into account the question of who then would play quarterback for the 49ers, which is what San Francisco would ask. But, I think there are other options on the table for New England, including the draft, including a first-round quarterback if they can get one. So, yeah, I'd definitely keep them on my list of teams that could pick a quarterback high.
Now, when you think about the draft and you talk about them moving up, I mean, them getting a quarterback, we've been accustomed to New England for years moving back in the draft. But to go up and get one of these quarterbacks,
yes,
they're going to have to move up. So do we anticipate that Bill has modernized his draft board and he'll use future compensation or whatever he has to do to get up to get his quarterback of the future?
You know, he will, as always, he'll assess value and seek out value. And if it's, you know, hey, we can get a guy we had ranked fourth on our board and we can get him at pick 14, you know, what's that worth? Or, you know, what do we need to do to get where we need to get to take the guy we really like? So you're right. I mean, that is something that's occurred to me a few times. Like, he hates to make a pick, right? They always trade back, get as many as possible, which is actually kind of the right way to draft, right? Because nobody knows how these guys are going to play. So you get as many as possible and maximize your chances of success, especially when you're always picking 31 or 32 like he is. But this year he's not. And so it may be that he values the pick he has this year differently than he usually values his first-round pick.
Dan Graziano, ESPN NFL Insider, joining Bart and Hahn here on the Goodyear Hotline. Dan, major cuts the next few days before the league year starts. Give us a name or two that you may not expect to get cut who could get moved off the team and cut from a roster.
Well, I don't know. See, I can't speak for what other people expect. So, like, I have my list of guys that are significant names that I think have a chance to get cut, like Von Miller, you know, who Denver has a deadline next week to pick up his option, and it's $17.5 million, and they're not going to pay him that. So do they have to make a cut there? Will he restructure and return? Zach Ertz, I think, is done in Philadelphia. I think that's been out there a little bit. They're trying to trade him. Might have to cut him if they can. Dee Ford, you know, pass rusher in San Francisco, guys like that. Marcus Mariota, right? The Raiders have been trying to trade him, but his contract is tricky and teams don't want to do it, so they were waiting for him to get cut and see if they can go for him. So, guys like that and more. And there will be some that we don't see coming, even those of us that are kind of trying to be, you know, as on top of this as we can, because it's a weird year and the cap went down. And when all these contracts were signed, no one thought the cap would go down. They thought it would go up. So, like, it didn't just drop from 198 to 182. It dropped from, like, 210 to 182 in terms of what people were planning it to be. So it's going to be a fascinating couple days with some of the gymnastics some of these teams are going to have to go through.
Gross, you're so inside that you're a black hole. So tell me, who are the six teams that are in the Orlando Brown Jr. sweepstakes?
I saw that report and I thought of you because I know how locked in you are on the Orlando Brown situation. I don't know who the six teams are. I know who makes sense. You know, I thought obviously with what happened in Kansas City yesterday, I thought they made sense.
Yeah, but why would they do that? Why would they help Kansas City?
Right. Exactly. You're not going to want to see Orlando Brown in the playoffs where the Baltimore Ravens expect to see Kansas City. So, yeah, I mean, if Trent Williams goes back to San Francisco, as I think he probably will, then I think that might start to get teams that think they have a shot at Trent to recalibrate, right? So the Indianapolis Colts need a left tackle. Jacksonville kept theirs, so I guess they're not on the list anymore. So I'm going off the top of my head here. I probably should have been better prepared. I probably should have expected Bart to ask me about Orlando Brown based on the last time we talked.
But, I beat that dead horse, right?
Yeah. So no, like we've talked about. I mean, it's a very unique and interesting case because, you know, he's young and he's on his rookie contract and he's cheap this year, and you know, but you're probably gonna have to sign him beyond this year to justify whatever it is that you trade to get him. So yeah, I mean, to me, Indianapolis should probably do it. You know, they have the room if they like him as a player. Because they need to replace Costanzo on the left side, and they feel like they're a team that can contend for it all.
Dan Graziano, ESPN NFL Insider. Dan, last one for me. Give us a couple of big name free agent matches that you could see with teams once the league year starts next Wednesday. A couple of guys where you have a really good idea of where they could end up.
So it's tricky because like teams aren't allowed to talk to these guys. Now we know that they do. We know that there are rules broken and stretched and all that kind of stuff. But there's also the possibility that some teams are following the rules and aren't going to weigh in with their offers till Monday. And then, so you could get surprised. But I think Kenny Golladay is going to have suitors that look at him as a number one receiver. And I think he'll be of interest to the Giants, the Patriots, possibly the Ravens. I think when you look at pass rushers, you try to make connections. Leonard Floyd and with the Rams, like his defensive coordinator is now the head coach of the Chargers, and also a guy, by the way, that coached him in Chicago. So there's an easy connection to make. I think Curtis Samuel, the receiver from Carolina. I know Carolina's trying to keep him, but his former college coach is now the head coach of the Jaguars. Right. So like, does he end up going there? And then what happens with the Ohio State guys with regard to Urban Meyer? I think Jameis Winston's still likely back in New Orleans as the potential starter there once Drew Brees eventually announces his retirement, which we assume he will. Hunter Henry, the tight end from the Chargers, I think is going to be of interest to the New England Patriots, who are looking for all kinds of weapons to put around Cam or whoever the quarterback's going to be. Again, top of my head, is there somebody specific you're wondering about that I didn't mention?
No, I think you're bringing up a couple of the names because it's always the big play wide receivers that you're going to be curious about right out of the gate. And Golladay was a guy that, yeah, he was banged up, but a little bit surprised he didn't get tagged.
Yeah, I mean, talking to people there in Detroit, look, it's all new, right? New front office, new coaching staff, and I think they're just kind of resetting. They knew they weren't going to sign him. They thought about tagging him on the possibility they could trade him, but then they decided they didn't want to get stuck with that tag number in case they couldn't. So they eventually just let him go and said, we'll start over at receiver. They signed Tyrell Williams, but they have more work to do at the receiver position. But, you know, they could be – if they don't go quarterback with their first-round pick, they could be a team that looks for one of those big receivers there too.
Danny, good stuff, man. Draft. Appreciate the time, as always.
You got it, guys.
Thanks, Dan.
Dan Graziano, our ESPN NFL insider, and he was giving us the Straight Talk. Brought to you by Straight Talk Wireless. No contract, no compromise. And so much of the last few days, Bart, has been surrounding Dak Prescott signing the contract that he did and what it's going to mean for the Cowboys here moving in to the future over the next couple of years and how they're going to have to handle things. But more importantly, is he going to be the guy to lead them to the Super Bowl? So Jimmy Johnson appeared on The Herd with Colin Cowherd on FS1 this week and gave his opinion.
I like Dak, and I'm kind of like you. I think he can win you a championship if he has great players around him. I don't think Dak can carry a football team if he doesn't have great players around him.
You know, define that, Bart.
Because, that's Captain Obvious, right? Because
yeah, I mean,
I can remember Troy Aikman had the big three, Moose Johnson, Michael Irvin, Emmitt Smith. You know
and
I mean?
Troy
Albert
Aikman
Harper,
was,
like, come on.
Listen, you go look at Troy Aikman's career numbers. Troy Aikman was a very, very good quarterback, But if you took those weapons away from him, would he have been Troy Aikman? I don't know about that.
I think what we're talking about is, can Dak win with a great offense and a horrible defense? That's the answer what we're trying to talk about. Because when you think about some of the quarterbacks that were able to do that, you can say arguably that Tom Brady has done that, right? And you can say that definitely Peyton Manning did it routinely, right? He never – you know, you couldn't mention anybody other than Jeff Saturday, who was just a free agent. He wasn't a great player. He was just a good scrappy player, and he fit for their system and what they like to do. But outside of Glenn, you couldn't really name me a top offensive lineman that Peyton Manning had protecting him. But the ball was out so fast that you didn't have to spend so much equity on great linemen, because he can get the ball out, and the pass rush really didn't matter. But when you think about Dak Prescott, he's done everything that he's supposed to do. I mean, you look at his five games last year alone. He threw for 380 against the number one defense in the league. In his first four games, he threw for 570, 566. He was averaging arguably like 450 yards of passing a game. And, yes, you can say, okay, that was against, you know, the Seattle Seahawks, who, you know, couldn't stop anybody in the passing game early on. But that first game, 380 against Aaron Donald and Jalen Ramsey, you know, that's something to be spoken about. So it's about, can Dan Quinn on the other side fix that leaky faucet, which is the defense of the Cowboys, and can Dan Quinn bring in some of his players that can teach his system? Can they bring – because they have talent on defense. It was just the structure, and Mike Nolan has seen better days, right? You think about Mike Nolan in Atlanta, that defense was god-awful.
So, it was. I tell you what, though. You are a lot more optimistic about this than I am, that one or two guys can come in and make a difference.
You want me to break it down to you? Would you like me to break the personnel down to you? Van Der Esch and Jaylen Brown. If Jaylen Brown can play like he's supposed to play.
But there's
like,
a lot of ifs in these kind of things when we're throwing us around.
But he's a talented player. He a couple of years ago, he was a Pro Bowl candidate, right? Van Der Esch, if he can stay healthy, right? It's not about his talents. Can he stay healthy? They have three great pass rushers in Gregory, Alden Smith, and you think about Lawrence. It's about, can you bring in Keanu Neal? Can you draft? Losing Byron Jones was a big deal, right? Because then they didn't have any lockdown corner, somebody they can put on the team's best receiver. They go out and get Patrick Surtain Jr., and you pair him with Trayvon Diggs from last year, getting a little bit better. You have Keanu Neal. You're just playing cover three. Cover three is don't get beat over the top. That's like, don't get beat over the top.
Again, Patrick Surtain's not a lock here for them. I look at the Cowboys' defense right now, and I just – they don't feel like they're one or two players away.
Bro,
and when I look at how
personnel.
Their salary cap is, most of that money is invested in the offense.
But not really. You think about Jalen Smith makes money, right? They reloaded on defense. Lawrence makes the most out of everybody.
And he had 6.5 sacks last year. That's not good enough at $20
million. It definitely isn't. But I tell you what, when you look at Dak Prescott going down, you didn't have a lot of leads where you can make teams one-dimensional, right? And you didn't have Randy Gregory till later in the season. And who knows if you can count on him, because you know his demons that he has to deal with. But Alden Smith was, to me, a revelation. He was great to watch. Nobody thought that you can be out of football for 4 years and come back and still be dominant. I thought at times he was the best pass rusher on the field. I believe that they're not that far defensively. It's more about scheme attitude, right? Because you can make a defense aggressive by your philosophy on defense. And I think Dan Quinn's going to come in, and he's going to be able to coach these guys up to play better, and he's going to bring a couple pieces in. They have enough. They still have like $22 million in salary cap space. Ezekiel Elliott won't be on this team past the next season, because you got to start making room to bring in better players. And I think Ezekiel Elliott, much like happened to DeMarco Murray, like, hey, I got DeMarco Murray. He ran for 2,000 yards. Okay, time to go, right? Because they understand when the tread goes off the tire on the running back, it's overnight. And it looks like it's starting to come off Ezekiel Elliott. They'll find somebody else in the draft later. They may even draft Ezekiel Elliott's replacement this year.
Let's hit a couple of calls real quick. 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776 on all our NFL topics that have been out there today. Belichick and the Patriots bringing back Cam, in addition to Tom Brady signing an extension with the Bucks to help their salary cap situation. David Culley, Watson, and the Texans. It's all there for you with the Cowboys. Brendan's in New Jersey. He's been waiting. Brendan, you're on Bart and Hahn, bud. What's cooking?
Hey guys, what's going on? So I just wanted to kind of bring up the point that, yeah, I know you guys have been kind of trashing Belichick a little bit about him being the GM, but I mean, if you look at some of the hits that he actually does have, I mean, look at the Patriots offensive line, for example. It's been one of the most dominant offensive lines very quietly over the past 5 years. I mean, Joe Thunley was one of their draft picks, Isaiah Wynn, Marcus Cannon, and even this year with the sixth-round pick of Michael Uwanu, I'm butchering his last name, but I mean, he was one of the top five rookies this year. And he was a sixth-round draft pick. And then you go on defense, I mean, he doesn't have, you know, stellar pass rushers like since Chandler Jones, but, I mean, you know, Winovich has been a great hit. Devin McCourty was amazing when they drafted him. Hightower's been great. So, I mean, really the only thing that he really lacks is his wide receiver, which, I mean, most teams have one place where they are super efficient in drafting. I mean, look at the Steelers' wide receivers. They seem to print all-pro wide receivers every year. The Patriots' strength is their offensive line, and that's where you really win the game, is in the trenches. So, I mean, GM is more than
And they're about to let Thuney go. But they're also about to let Thuney go, and thanks for the call. The problem here is if you want to look at it objectively and pick out one or two here or there, you can make your case. But when you look at the big picture, no, I'm sorry. It hasn't been nearly good enough. Otherwise, they wouldn't have been in the predicament they were in last year, Bart.
Yeah, because if it wasn't for Tom Brady – it's no way that, you know, they could have even been successful. He overcame their lack of personnel, and that's why he got fed up finally. He's like, I'm not even taking all the money that I could take, and you guys aren't putting talent around me for me to be successful. And I think the glaring the thing that really stuck out was that playoff game against the Texans where they just got beat up and down the court. And be like, I'm losing to Tennessee. I've beaten the Baltimore Ravens of the world. I've beaten these powerhouses of the world, these juggernauts that are right there, and I'm losing to these guys because of my personnel? I mean, at this point, I mean, you know, not Wes Walker, but Julian Edelman's like 35 years old. Like, where's his replacement? Jacoby Myers?
No question. Yeah.
Where's Gronk's replacement? Where's Gronk's replacement?
We'll see if they come, because they haven't yet, and it has to happen through the draft. It's supposed to be building through that, and they haven't done it as of the last couple of years. That's for certain. Lock that down. Up next, we've got audio files, and you are going to want to hear from one of the all-time greats who got disrespected in his own house. Utterly ridiculous. Plus, we will also hear from somebody who got a little freebie in the conference tournament. Could affect your team. We'll tell you how. It's coming up next. Barton Hunt continues on ESPN Radio and ESPN Plus.
Now, let's talk about the play of the week. The pressure to follow up Hypnotic and Cognac weighing heavy on the team. Hypnotic was in the cup, blue and ready for the play. And boom! Añejo Tequila came in with a smooth assist to Hypnotic's tropical fruit finish. Shaken, strained, poured. It was green and good! The playmaking splash shifted the tempo. Another great cocktail from the Hypnotic team. Every season is Hypnotic and Tequila season. Hypnotic Liqueur, Bardstown, Kentucky, 17% alcohol by volume. Hypnotic reminds you to think wisely, drink wisely.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPN pods. That's amazon.com/ESPN pods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Bart and Han.
ESPN Radio presented by Progressive Insurance. Protecting your small business is a big deal. Cover what you've worked so hard for. Visit ProgressiveCommercial.com. It's Bart and Han on ESPN Radio and ESPN Plus. Chris Carlin in for Alan Han along with Bart Scott. It is time for audio file. Bart, how does this happen? How does this happen to Patrick Ewing? Yesterday, in Madison Square Garden, Georgetown, a big win, and the big fella is not recognized several times in his own building, or at least people demanding to see a credential, and let's just say he wasn't too pleased about it. Here he is.
I'd say one thing, though. I thought this was my building. And I feel terrible that I'm getting stopped, accosted, asking for passes. Everybody in this building should know who the hell I am. And I'm getting stopped. I can't move around this building. Like I was like, what the hell? Is this Madison Square Garden? I'm going to have to call Mr. Dolan and say, geez, is my number in the rafters or what?
Tell you what, man. I got a new hoodie coming out. And it's a picture, and it says, Google me. And me is in the search engine, and it's a picture of me at the end. And that's what Patrick Ewing, that's where he at. You got to understand, man, half these dudes don't even know anything past the Fresh Prince of Bel-Air on reruns. So what happens is you got legends that get old overnight. And you're on, and it's like watching the Guardians. Like, you're only a legend if other people believe in you and know who you are. And guess what, Patrick? You're starting to die. Just like Barry Sanders. Barry Sanders walked in the building right now. Wouldn't nobody say nothing. Like, who's this dude with these big thighs and short? That's all they would say. So, Patrick, I understand, man. But all you had to do when people ask for your credentials from now on, walk around with the basketball. And just like that Snickers commercial, dunk on them. Hi, Ryan. Just start dunking on people. That's my credential, punk. Look up in the rafters. I'm Patrick Chewing.
Let me tell you something. This whole Patrick soundbite is brought to you by Wendy's, the proud sponsor of the 2021 John R. Wooden Men's and Women's Player of the Year. And that's ironic.
Oh, now you tell me.
Because when I walk into Wendy's, they know who I am. My jersey is up in the Raptors. This never happens when I walk into Wendy's.
Give me the special. You got your own special.
No, they know. Give me the Carlin. They know. There's never a problem. Patrick deserves the respect. I'm sorry. I'm not walking into Wendy's without a pass. Patrick isn't walking into the Garden without a pass. Georgia Tech caught a little break, so to speak, as they are moving on to the ACC Finals because Virginia had to pull out due to a COVID test positive with their program. Here is the rambling wreck head coach, Josh Pastner, on moving on and how he found out.
I got the call that Virginia was not going to play, so we would advance to the championship. Obviously, we'd prefer to win the game to advance to the finals, but hey, it is what it is. We'll have to be ready to play. You're still playing for a championship, and you know, it's just one of those things. It's kind of a crazy year. Obviously, you're in a global pandemic, and you know, you just, it's literally one day at a time, and that's all you can do, and that's what we've been talking about from the beginning of the year, and that's why you, to get to even play games, you're just so darn grateful. You don't take it for granted because there are no guarantees.
Bart, here's my only question. You know, they're going to advance and play in the championship game, the winner of Carolina and Florida State later tonight. Are you getting the feeling at all that these COVID positives that we've had the last couple of days with Duke and now with Virginia, are we headed toward maybe an issue like we ran into last year? Is it going to get that big?
I'm hoping not. I'm hoping that we can get this thing under control. Guys can quarantine. They can test guys, get them away from each other for a while. You know, been a lot of travel and figure out, you know, where we're going to play this tournament, or, you know, figure out where they're going to play the NCAA. Are they playing at in one place, one location? Or are they spreading it out across the country? I'm not sure of that yet. They got to figure it out.
NCAA is going to be all in Indiana, of Indiana.
So if that's the case, we're going to need these young athletes to be much like the NBA players were in the bubble. They're going to have to be responsible because one person, two people can ruin it for everybody, and no barbers allowed. Let it go grow out like Jimmy Buckets. Get your Starbucks machine and sell coffee, but no haircuts in the bubble.
That was Josh Pastner, by the way, this morning with Packer and Durham over on the ACC Network. And here's the other thing, too, Bart. Once they have the brackets on Sunday, there's 48 hours thereafter. Remember, the last four teams that didn't get in and could still get slotted in if somebody has to pull out in those first 48 hours because of COVID positive tests. So that is something to keep in mind of those first couple days right after the brackets are announced.
They're gonna send the Jordan pizza. They're gonna send the delivery man with the here's your pizza. Like try to get your team in a tournament. Oh man.
Like wedding crashers, eye drops in the water. Something like that.
Oh man.
Go ahead because
No. I got nothing. I was going to the cliff. Thank you. You saved me. You saved me.
Always trying to do my best, even unintentionally. Meanwhile, we've talked so much today about the mess down in Texas, and poor David Culley put out in front of the media. Diana Rustini yesterday on with Chiney and Golic Jr. just feels the same way, that David Culley needed a little bit of help.
I really thought that Texas could have helped out head coach Dave Culley by maybe putting out their GM, Nick Castario, who's got to answer a lot of these personnel decisions, who's got all the power there in terms of making these decisions. You know, Jack Easterby is a name that a lot of people know of now. He's running the football operations side of it. And maybe ownership would have been a little dramatic, but this was a really difficult press conference to have in mid-March, knowing how unhappy Deshaun Watson is. This isn't a secret.
Look, for the Texans to continue to masterfully mishandle this situation, I mean, it's a clinic in how not to do things. Bart, I tell you what, at the end of this, David Culley is going to have a hell of a book.
Yeah, man. I tell you, he gonna need a Nobel Peace Prize for the patience he's going to have to display, man. Like, he's sitting there like Neil in the Matrix trying to dodge these questions. Like, all right, so he's on the team. No, he's not on the team. Like, I feel like Houston just has a problem with, you know, when they bring in older black men for their head coaches. Like, you think about Dusty Baker had to walk into the Astros. Now he's walking into this one, man. What's next? Salah walks into Harden with a fat man suit. What's going on in Houston, man, in their coaching staffs and their situations in their organizations? They need to come together as a city and figure this stuff out. Say, hey, man, we're the laughing joke of sports, the sports world, man. We need to figure this out. And I think they need to start holding some of these other guys accountable. Quit hiding behind these head coaches and hold yourself accountable. You wanted to wear the big boy pants. Don't hide behind the fact that you talk once or twice a year. Stand up in front of the mic and take it like a man. You made these decisions. Live with them. You decided to get rid of DeAndre Hopkins. You're all on board to trade, to make the trades, bringing Brandon Cook and all these guys. Live with it. Answer the questions like a man. Don't put this man in front of it. He wasn't there. How can he explain those decisions when he wasn't around to make them?
I could not agree more on that front. And what aggravates me even more, last part about it, is Jack Easterby. All we have done is hear about how much power this guy has in the organization, yet they have him shrouded in this secrecy. And somehow he's the one that is making decisions by being in the ear of the owner of Cal McNair. And Bart, I mean, to me, if you're an owner of an organization, you have a responsibility to make your people accountable, just as you were talking about.
Exactly. You're supposed to leadership, you know, attitude reflect leadership. And the leadership there for Kyle McNair is that he's hiding and ducking and afraid to face the music. It's your organization. If you believe in a decision, stand up and be bold. Yeah, we made it, and it's not y'all business. We'll be right at the end and take accountability for it and take ownership of it. You can't only take ownership for it if it works out. Come out and start pounding your chest. Look what we did. If it works, if you're able to start winning, like, take accountability for it now. That's when you get the credit for stepping up and doing what's not popular.
That is Audiophiles, and as we know, it is almost tournament time. Tune in tonight. As for the ACC semifinals, as we said, it is Carolina and Florida State. Coverage beginning 6 p.m. Eastern, ESPN Radio and the ESPN app. On the way, the second half of the NBA season is upon us. First night observations and some eye-opening ones, to be sure. Plus a player I've never been happier to watch, yet more intolerant of listening to. It's all next on Bart and Han on ESPN Radio and ESPN Plus.
10 seconds on the clock. How many things can you name that are always growing? Your relationships, your skills, your customer base. How about businesses on Shopify? Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage, Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/network, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/network now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/network.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
Bart and Han.
Yeah, it's on ESPN Radio. Tune in Sunday night. Zion on the Pelicans host Kawhi and the Clippers, presented by Indeed. Coverage begins 8:30 p.m. Eastern on most ESPN Radio stations. And because of that change in the ACC, with UVA having to pull out with a COVID positive test, coverage for the ACC semifinals tonight, Carolina and Florida State, begins at 8 o'clock. They moved that game for that semifinal game on ESPN Radio and the ESPN app. All right, NBA second half is underway after the last couple of days. There was a little bit of ugliness last night, Bart, and that ugliness was emanating from the New York Knicks. That was a brutal start to the second half as they get their doors blown off in Milwaukee by the Bucks. Not necessarily all that surprising, but Julius Randle, who had been amazing in the first half of the season, 7 points, a minus 20, 3 for 7 from the floor, that's not what you're looking for.
Well, he probably enjoyed being an all-star, enjoyed himself a little bit, got to work some of those, lemon pepper wings off, if you know what I'm saying. You know what I'm saying? You got to get some of the sweet lose lemon pepper wings out. He'll be okay. I think that he'll bounce back. But we knew that it's going to be tough. They have a brutal schedule in the second half. Let's see if they can keep that pace.
I do think that from Randall's standpoint, they are either going to have to get him some help before the deadline, and nothing on a major front, but also they got to get him some rest. And I know Thibodeau does not give guys rest. He can't be playing 40 minutes every night, Bart.
Well, you know, that's why, you know, people say, you know, it's going to be hard for him to get certain stars to come, because only certain stars like Jimmy Buckets, maybe Karl-Anthony Towns, well, not Karl-Anthony Towns. You think about Randolph. You know, and you think about certain guys, it takes a special type of athlete that want to deal with that grit and grind and be under that intense pressure all the time. If you want to get a guy like Zach LaVine or something like that, you got to know what type of work ethic they got. That's why I'd say LaVine or maybe Oladipo. But other than that, there's certain guys that ain't going to come. I'm not this coach. I'm not practice. Oh. Talk about practice, not the game. You're going to get a couple guys like that.
How about Kyrie last night dropping 40 on the Celtics? Bart, I love watching him play. And then after the game, he's hugging some of the guys from the Celtics on the way off the floor and makes a point of, like, nobody knows what they were talking about when they're talking about me with problems in the Celtics. Come on.
Did we all know
there were problems when you left.
Did we not listen to Terry Rozier and all the other guys that publicly put their name on it? Like, come on, stop it, Kyrie. It's not all as well, man. Come on. Like, he lives
it's
in
not the media.
Reality.
It's not the pawns. It's not the media and the pawns, Bart. It's other players who are saying this. Unbelievable. How about your guy P.J. Tucker, who is now on ice, and he and the Rockets are going to part ways?
Well, we knew this was coming, right? He wanted a new contract. He's an older player at 34 years old. People don't realize that, but he's still playing at a high-level defensive guy that can help a team. You know, you just worry about, like, who's next, right? Because I figure if I'm Aaron Gordon, I'm like, well, free me too. I don't want to be around for this. I can go help a team. So free, hashtag free Aaron Gordon, hashtag Tucker, I'm glad you're free. Let me borrow some of them kicks.
This just in, Kansas has now pulled out of the Big 12 tournament because one of their players has tested positive for COVID-19. So it just continues. Duke, earlier today Virginia, and now Kansas. If you missed any portion of the show, you can always find both hours of Bart and Han posted daily as a podcast, available wherever you listen to your podcast. Coming up next with more on all the big NFL stories, Max Kellerman on ESPN Radio and the ESPN Plus.
Thanks for listening to the Bart and Han Podcast. You can listen live to Bart and Han weekdays at noon Eastern on ESPN Radio or stream the video of the show on ESPN Plus. Bart and Han, the podcast.